blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What should I look at this morning?
I'm going to talk about I choose unconditional love.
Excellent topic.
I'll just give a little bit of the background, which is that on the Thursday morning radio show, what I heard was a caller talking about feeling in a place of overwhelm and feeling very stuck, and Sherry offered what she called the way out of that, which is to make a recording that says, I choose unconditional love, to leave a pause of about 3 or 4 seconds, to let the person listening repeat it back, and then to listen to that through the day and through the night, round the clock. The kind of principle being, you know, what I'm seeing out there exists in me, and I'm taking responsibility moment by moment for being what I choose for the world. And I've been doing that. I want to give a report. It really is. It's like having somebody with you who's saying, I am not leaving unconditional love for anything.
Anything. And that the benefit of having it repeat like that is that throughout our day, we encounter just about everything.
Exactly. That would like somehow... in the conditioned system, be a reason to pull us away from unconditional love.
I'll get back to unconditional love in a minute. Let me just survive this.
And instead it's just somebody holding the line saying, I'm not leaving unconditional love for anything through the day. And I've listened to all sorts of recordings through the night, but never just this one. And it's been just extraordinary to experience. Like, I was having this experience of feeling overwhelmed and stuck.
That's handy.
Yeah, it was like being shown all of these ways that this karmic place of feeling less than inadequate gets triggered. And they were all being triggered like in this kind of rapid fire way. And what I came to see was that was really good news. Because it showed me that that was a process of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, you know, kind of using anything, you know, in the most privileged life circumstances to find a reason to be put in that less than inadequate place. And so there was that experience. And then when I was listening to the I Choose Unconditional Love recording through the night, I woke up into this perspective of seeing, that's not the whole story. It's not the whole story that I've been pulled into that less than inadequate place. There's been all of this love showing up. And so it was like waking up into this perspective of seeing a life not through the eyes of self-hate.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much in that. So that first piece of tracking what you're saying is that, wow, to get to see that all of those processes, like not good enough, less than, overwhelms, another one you mentioned, mm-hmm. are processes of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yeah.
And that no matter what life circumstance is going on for any particular individual, mm-hmm. it's going to find a way to create that process.
Yes.
And so very helpful, it sounds like, in what you're saying, is to watch that process go on for you mm-hmm. in the middle of circumstances that wouldn't necessarily be quite as believable as if, say, I was in a really real situation where this is happening and that's, and, you know, I don't have enough to eat or enough money or I'm being, you know, this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So really, really helpful to be seen, to get to see that's a process that's happening.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, but
go ahead.
I was just going to go on to reflect the next piece. So did you have something about that?
Well, I was just hearing in what you're saying in that piece that, I mean, all of that is a distraction from taking responsibility.
Exactly.
For being what I want for the world, yes. moment by moment.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's only one end of the duality,
yeah.
right? Of the victim, perpetrator, right? right? And, mm-hmm. you know, my intuitive senses, that's been just a cozier place to hang out than mm-hmm. facing the yeah. other side of the duality, or even, or taking responsibility for not participating yeah. in that duality yeah. at all, which is what yeah. the I Choose Unconditional Love is,
exactly.
is messing with and interfering with, that it's just taking responsibility for choosing that
yes.
and not being catapulted back and forth yeah. in the victim
perpetrator
yeah. ego drama yeah. all through the day,
which
by
I think
a conversation in head.
Points at that second piece that you were saying, which is that you woke up into that larger perspective
yeah.
of weight. That's not even the whole story, that I've been identified with this thing.
Right.
That there's also this love that's right along with it.
Yeah.
And those two places, as you describe it, it's so clear that whatever the process is that's going on, I'm not good enough, I'm less than, I'm overwhelmed, it's always going to be an energy draining process.
Yes.
Which then leaves us in a place where it's actually quite challenging to take responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. And then opens a huge door for, why aren't you just taking, you can't even change yourself.
Yeah.
So what is you, you know, it opens a huge door for self-hate.
Yeah.
Whereas the place of, I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love, and living in that place, of course, is going to support us, build the energy, and actually put us in a place where not only can we, but we want to take responsibility.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's that kind of bigger than me, or,
yeah.
you know, like, there was a concrete example of practicing this where I sat down and I had an email to write that felt like there were lots of things going on that were triggering that pull in on that mm-hmm. sensation level, mm-hmm. pull into the less than inadequate, mm-hmm. can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I put in the earbud in mm-hmm. one ear with the I Choose Unconditional mm-hmm. Love, and what it showed me was that the usual suffering way of doing something like that is that there's the you can't do it, and the, you know, that sensation level can be pulled into that stuck place. And then there's the other side of the, what I got to see was just the other side of the duality, like, you know, we talk about ego talking to ego, so there's the I can't do it, and then there's the kind of, like, what's the matter with you, hurry up and do it, and I can do it, you know, so.
Even a more subtle version of just another,
right.
yes I can, come on,
yeah,
in your bootstraps, and.
Exactly, and somehow the I Choose Unconditional Love recording opened up this experience that wasn't any of that, and it was like me being completely out of the way and just life coming through and doing it. So what the recording I made after that was, you know, because when something comes in and says you can't do it, and there's that negotiating in the conversation in the head, well, I could do it on Monday when I'm feeling whatever all of that, and then there's that feeling of relief, which is actually the
yes.
energy draining to
right.
ego, right?
Yeah.
So there's awareness of all of that, but what was different with the I Choose Unconditional Love recording was that I just thought, oh yeah, so the recording I made was, you know, when you hear that I can't do it and you feel the sensations and the pull to that less than stuck, inadequate place, that's your signal to get more present.
Yes.
To get really here.
Yes.
Not to try and do the thing.
Yes.
Because that just gets you pulled into that other side of the duality.
Yes.
Right? Just to get really, really here. Look at what's around you. Feel the ground under your feet.
Yeah.
Because the loop I'd been caught in was, you have to do it, and then like almost like, well, I've got to stand up on my hind legs and do it. But that just keeps me in the conversation, keeps me in the system, and keeps that pressure feeling, oh, God, I've got to do it. And instead, the recording was, you don't have to do it. Life's going to do this. Life can. Life always can. Life can always function, even when you're hearing that you can't. So when you hear that message of, you have to do it, you don't have to do it, it's all right. Just get really, really present. Just get really here. As here is, like, you know that delicious feeling of how here can you get? How much presence can you experience? How much can you notice that leaf on that tree?
Yeah.
That's all you have to do, and you love doing that. So,
what a win-win.
Nothing's a problem.
Because it really is, as you describe it, I could just feel it. It really is a sinking deeper and deeper into the unconditional.
Yes,
Because there's such a place of faith in what you're talking about,
right?
Because, I mean, this thing has to get done. It really does have to get done, right?
Yeah.
And the draw, how well we've been trained to go to the voice, to negotiate how to get out of it, even though the voice is putting us in there, right? And so really getting to see that that's what's going on is so helpful.
Yeah.
Because at least for me, it really ups the willingness, the ability to go, okay, well, then I am going to just get here.
Yes.
And that when we do that, what we see over and over and over is, wow, I really didn't have to do it.
Exactly.
Because life will.
Yes.
Maybe not on my timeline, its timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there are going to be a lot of sensations to get to sit through as I do that. But wow, all of that is exquisite training.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and as you're describing it, I just think, wow, what a... kind of what an adventure this piece of guidance has set a course for us.
Oh, yes.
Right? Because it's not about what I've seen with it. It's not about trying to avoid what we don't want. Right? Because they're, she's unconditional love. Oh, she's unconditional. Oh, God, I got to write this email. Shoot, that really wrecks my unconditional love. I'm not feeling it anymore, right?
Yes.
But instead of that, to realize the unconditional love place, that's an invitation for it to expand rather than us to contract out of that place of unconditional love.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to express with that feeling of there's somebody with you saying, I'm not leaving this for anything.
Exactly.
Like, this is the process that everything can
come into. Everything. Everything. And then we become eager for all of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I get to practice with this thing, and then with this thing, and then with that thing, and
it's like, what I heard was, to get out of being a person who can, you don't have to become a person who can, you just have to stop being you.
Yes.
You just have to stop being me.
Or, exactly.
You know, let life do.
And we say it, right? We say it, just let life live through me, right? But it's like, no, I mean it. It really does happen that way.
Yeah, we get to experience that for ourselves.
Yes, exactly. Which is the beautiful thing.
Very cool.
And that, you know, another piece of it is, and if, quote, I'm not feeling it, that's completely all right, truly, because we can still practice, I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love, from that trust, that faith place that you were talking about of, because I will have my own experience of it if I stick with it over time. It just will happen.
Thank you.
So, well,
I need some assistance.
Okay. That was the first step. Huh?
That was the first step. So
always good to celebrate each step along the way.
Yeah. So the content is to just say that.
Yeah.
And I realized that there's just been a lot of systems in place to not say that. Mm. Get caught up in let's see. maybe you can help me a little bit with this. Mm-hmm. What's happening right now is what often happens in group. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a voice.
Yep.
And it's telling me that I need to get clear on what's content and process.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Which is tricky to do anyway, and especially tricky when our attention is being split with a conversation in our head. You know, it's one of those places where don't you wish it was actually physical?
Yeah.
Because that would make it so clear how challenging it is to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here, and it looks like I'm just a person sitting here. How hard could it be to say the words to you, right? I'm just sitting here.
Yeah.
But what's actually happening is there literally is a voice right here saying, well, no, but, you know, and we start a sentence and it says, well, but, you know, that's really content. So I don't know. I think you should, and then we're just trying to say what we're.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it has to be get all figured out.
Get all figured out.
Which prevents anything from being said.
Right.
That might be authentic.
Yeah. You know, the really, for me, the very relaxing part of it is that there's nothing that could happen to the human in the sense of anything that comes out of the mouth is either going to be an opportunity for, you know, us to say what's really going on for us, or, you know, it's a conditioned process that will get revealed, and that's yay for us too.
Yeah.
So it's a complete win-win for us, you know, the actual person.
Mm-hmm.
And if, just like we were talking about with Anna, if we stick with it, it's absolutely a lose-lose for the voice in a context like this.
Oh, yes. If we just stick with, yes.
If we're willing to put our hands up and speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And, wow. So I'm having this experience right now. I'm just. Just complete. Being completely blank.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at least in my experience, what can happen sometimes is we begin to get here, and then the thing that was so huge and problematic isn't, because we're here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean we can't still
ask
for assistance with whatever we're looking at, but
exactly.
That is the process.
Exactly. Yes. And that's, I mean, this is, I've had this over and over. It's like, you get here, what's the problem?
Right.
You know, there just isn't any.
There isn't.
Yeah. And so maybe that's a good place to stop.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just coming in here, feeling like, gosh, I could really use assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And then so much in place over time to prevent you from being able to say that. Finding the willingness to say it, putting your hands up.
Yeah. 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 And, there's just something, just staying with that willingness. It seems that there's just been, and this could be true for, I mean, this, any of us could say this. And it's just like just so many occasions where there is assistance needed, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And it's been a kind of a plowing through of, no, I can do this. I don't need assistance. Which is just that very ego-centered place of, that I can do it,
right.
Sort of thing.
Right, so it traps Sequoia.
Yeah.
Because can't you just picture it? There's Sequoia, and then there's the voice saying, you know, all kind of creating this fortress around her. No, I don't need you. I can do this.
Yeah.
But that voice is not the thing that's trapped inside of the.
Right. And I just saw that what was happening, it seems that what was happening, and then just get here and there's no problem, it kind of gets folded into this pseudo-Zen thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, what's the problem, Sequoia?
Exactly.
It's your problem that you just can't get here.
Yeah.
And if you could, everything would just be resolved.
Yeah, and that is just a handy conclusion in the middle of group to have.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we make our show and walk out the door...
Mm-hmm. It's on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like maybe this is just first steps of just saying, saying what's so. Let's see. And just wanting to step through a real deep karmic orientation to need to be an example, mm-hmm. and to need to have it, you know, need to have it all figured out, and need to, So, yeah, just stepping through that.
Yeah, yeah, because it's interesting if we look at, say, the Buddha, mm-hmm. who practiced till the day he died, right?
Yeah.
So that example that's given to us of, we all practice all the time. And what we practice with, it reminds me of the first conversation, what we practice with is whatever's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't need to take personally what's here.
Yeah.
As if that means something about me, right. or says something about, quote, right. where I am, or... But what if it were just literally the same as I'm walking along and, oh, there's a piece of trash, let me put that in, let me pick that up. Oh, there's a, oh, that needs to be pruned, okay. Yeah. Oh, there's a... I don't take that personally.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, absolutely. And that's been my experience with practicing I Choose Unconditional Love, too. I don't know that I've had any earth-breaking insights about it, but I've noticed more of a willingness to just do what's in front of you. Know?
Well, and you've been practicing it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, the willingness to do a practice like that, even if I'm not having some fantastic, huge experience that ego would get to say, oh, see, it's really working, that's so great, you're doing great.
Yeah.
That's so huge.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're not doing it for a result, which is the hardest thing to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, what's so tricky about it is, will there be a quote result in the sense of our life experience shifts? Yeah, there will. Mm-hmm. Because over time, I mean, it's just like lifting weights or, you know, anything that we practice, over time, we become stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. And making that decision to practice that which we want to become stronger in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No matter what, how I feel,
yeah,
what the result is,
so I'm seeing this other tendency that is needing to make everything tidy and wrap it up.
Yep.
And now it's like, okay, so, you know, how to how to pull this all together. Mm-hmm. And actually there's just this willingness right now to just sit with, just sit with the uncertainty of all of it, and all the emotions that are rising.
Yes.
And that's what's here, and it doesn't need to be wrapped up.
Yes.
And it doesn't need to be clean and tidy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's what's here. That's what gets to be invited into, held in that unconditional love.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be fixed or changed.
The offering.
Yeah. Truly. You know, it's that place of we truly don't know. You know, we don't know. You know, maybe life sees a huge opening where compassion is available and says, oh, it's a great chance to get to sit with this karma. For most of us, we've just had at least one lifetime of just constantly being under that scrutiny of being fixed, being changed, being right, being wrong.
Yeah.
Little this way, little that way. Careful what you say. Careful what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, enough already.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, we've said it, but it is such a big place when we walk into that invitation of unconditional love. It's for everything.
Yeah.
Exactly as it is right now.
Yeah.
I keep, as I've been practicing with it, and it's coming up this morning too, just keep thinking of that. The way is easy for those who have no preferences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fairly easy to love those times where it's like, wow, yeah, unconditional love here and there, and, you know, and to realize that it's everything. It's the hard stuff, it's the big karmic waves, it's the, you know, when I'm being told this, it's when I'm being told that.
Yeah.
And to not leave the practice of yeah. I choose unconditional love in yeah. the middle of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Penny.
Well, a couple things. One is I wanted to report in. A week or so ago, I was talking about having written something and then noticing I hadn't sent it out to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent it out.
Uh-huh.
That was good.
That was good.
and gotten some responses from it. It's interesting. And some people said, could I send this to other people that are feeling this way? So that was, it felt like a breakthrough. Uh-huh. It felt like a I remember the New Year's retreat said a couple of years ago, saying that, you know, the big karmic thing for me is like, don't expose yourself, no exposure. So it was a form of exposure.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So it felt, and you know, it ended up being painless, actually,
because uh-huh.
all the pain was just around talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around the conversation in
yeah.
your head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's such a great point. So then, probably, you got here, you know, you just got to the present moment, and then the thing to do was to send it, and you sent it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the voices say would be, oh, so hard to do, and, you know, I'm going to be exposed, and mm-hmm. was actually not that hard to do.
It was not. And the other thing I've been looking at is, I've been listening to, when I can, to the radio show, the morning radio uh-huh. show, and, you know, experiencing the challenge of the times we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm finding about it is that big challenging times like this are actually very clarifying.
Yes.
And yes. And more and more, when I'm watching stuff come up, like even anger or even fear or certainly anything resembling guilt or anything like that, what I'm really seeing is how there's really no place for them.
There's no place for them
because they take up energy. Yeah, and you know, the gift of challenging scary times is that we're really, I mean, all the time we could do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, when there's a big scary monster in the path, it's a little more in your face, really, that we need all our energy just to really be there for whatever we're invited to do.
Yes.
And that's more and more I'm finding my experience.
And you know, it's so true. It takes me back to the first conversation again. And it just, from what you describe, it would actually be completely possible. I would guess many people find themselves in that place to run and hide, mm-hmm. right? But to have a way, a process, to choose not to do that. So instead of going to the guilt or the fear or mm-hmm. the hate or the whatever it is, realizing, kind of like all of the first conversation, wow, that's actually going to stop me from being able to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. Using it as a call to really be here because the monster's in the path,
right? And simply to be here, not having any idea about a particular response,
right?
And which has been my experience because I don't really know, but
that makes you available.
It makes me available, yeah. And so I've been actually energized. I started out being in dismay. And I find that there's a rising of energy, and it's coming out of dismay. Doesn't land us anymore.
No. Yeah.
And a couple other things. I've been working on a project for our cats, and so I was working out in the garage yesterday, and you know, it's rough carpentry, which is my favorite thing on earth. And so I was working on that last night, and I came in, and I was just struck by how, for me anyway, in the midst of what could be a lot of mental turmoil, how helpful it is to do hands-on stuff. And it felt like that's part of the clarifying thing, to remember to do hands-on stuff, whether it's, you know, cleaning up something or creating something, or just how centering and grounding and getting present that is, at least for this being.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's refreshing.
Yes, yeah. It reminds us, I think, that at least this is my experience, this is where we live, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's right here, in the garden, in the making the cat thing, in the cleaning the dishes, in the, you know, everything is for that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not foreign, you know, the big important things, government, and you know, well, but what's it all there for? You know, it all comes down to that, doing the dishes and eating. And
And the last thing that it's been interesting to see is both in terms of immediate attention, but also in terms of who I listen to. It's been another thing that's been clarifying is it really feels important to pay attention to who I listen to. Mm-hmm. There's a million voices out there. The other night I was listening to a presentation by Marianne Williamson. Mm-hmm. You know, she's saying exactly what Sherry and Ashwini are saying, and passionately, you know, and just, you know, to kind of sort out, again, for the same reason, because there's no point in allowing input that is off mark. Do you know?
Yeah.
Just as there's no point in, it's the same thing. To not put my attention where life is not served.
Yeah.
And as best as I can tell, to just stick with what it really feels like it's serving life.
Yeah.
And when I do that, my experience is that all those people that I really am focused on are saying the same thing.
Yeah. Right. So it really is a practice of focusing the attention.
Yeah.
So you're really paying close attention to who are you listening to.
Right.
Yeah.
Which internally.
I was just going to say.
Externally.
Right. Because that's the essential piece, right? Mm-hmm. Is that internally it's all in there.
Yeah.
Which was what makes it incredibly tricky to disidentify from.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you've been practicing a while and you really start to pay attention and see what drains the energy and what builds it, you begin to really have the ability and the desire mm-hmm. to focus the attention where you want it to be, and then to choose the external input that's going to assist that focus.
Yeah, and that's the last thing is to really get how I need that support.
Yeah,
you know, I need to sort out where does the support come from, and to acknowledge that this being needs all the support she can get.
Yeah,
and it's there.
Yeah,
it's out there.
Yeah,
and it's in here. But it's a matter of making sure to streamline the attention to go there.
Yeah, it's really gotta happen in both places, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that we're really paying close attention to what's going on internally. You mm-hmm. know, so the listening to the I choose unconditional love, the focusing attention, and then realizing that as I go about my day, I need to set it up to support myself.
Yeah.
Right. So it's Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Right. Yeah. That we need all of that. We need to surround it. We need to be doing things with our hands. Mm-hmm. We need to be caring for the body. Mm-hmm. We need to be surrounding ourselves with messages that you know feel like they support the heart. You know, all those things. It all goes together. You know, it's not mm-hmm. I'm a little island like we were talking about a minute ago. Yeah. I can do this myself, and never going to work.
And it's all the things that actually create a good life anytime.
Right. Exactly.
But, yeah. And just one other thing that came to me as I was listening to you is one thing I noticed is that I think that there's a lot of energy here. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways I've seen conditioning try to go at it is like last night when I was staining these boards, I start something like that and I'm aware of a voice sort of saying, oh God, this is going to take so long, let's just get through this. Mm-hmm. And what it is what conditioning is trying to do with the energy.
Yeah.
And to just keep the energy coming back to, no, what I'm doing right now is staining these boards and it'll take all the energy I've got. but more and more, this thing's coming in. This is taking too long. And all it is conditioning can't deal with the energy.
Exactly, because hello, finish those boards so I can have the energy, please. Right, you're using up all the energy on the boards. It's going to be bad enough for me. Right, and when we catch on to, yay, that's exactly what I want. All of the energy and attention here.
Yeah,
with the boards.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm seeing that some content right now isn't landing and kicking up a big process, yet another content is kicking up the similar process that should be kicked up by the person which I'd never seen before. So I feel kind of insulated or in a bubble about what's going on out there. Because I arrived.
I'm not sure why.
No. Yeah. I feel what's going on. I arrived here before the election.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know the results till the email class when mm-hmm. a respondent said something that I projected showed who won.
Right.
And then the morning
started to become clear.
The Canadian website crashed. Oh, okay. That's what they said. I was like, oh, I guess everybody's moving north. So I figured it wasn't Hillary. But anyway. So, it's been dropping in. Like, should I be more worried? And then there's the guidance: worries, not preparation.
Right.
So that building that muscle.
If I should be worried, I guess life will let me know.
Yeah. And there has been other calamities which had touched me when I was monastic training, and I got a note from the monastery, giving me clear information that this calamity has happened. It may have affected you. Here's some clear guidelines and guidance. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, having that faith and trust.
Yeah.
And in listening to the morning radio shows, it wants to come in with, well, you know, it's coming toward, I got a week to go, so we'll be heading out there. And, you know, but I'm just thinking, or I'm just projecting mm-hmm. that you're right, life will drop in necessary information,
right,
if any.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But what's interesting about the fear process that the system is saying I should be in, it really kicked up, which is a really funny one because it's a really old process that I've had here on the property. I've got this commitment to do 30 minutes of exercise a day in and out of schedule. Mm-hmm. So I've been walking around the property a lot more than I normally mm-hmm. do, and just around the mm-hmm. roads. And, mm-hmm. and I just saw it about 3 days ago. It came in with, you know, there's a mountain lion on the staff, and you're at Sprague. And it's you. Yeah, it's me. And I bought the story for about 10 minutes, and the system revved. And I got all the sensations and all the fear, and really almost processed, like, if I take another step, it's going to, you know, encourage it to stop anymore. And then I just started to laugh, like, that's just that fear process.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with what was going on.
Yeah.
There was no sightings of mountain lions. I didn't get any information about them.
We hardly lost anyone.
Yeah, everyone's pretty well shown up for meals and in group that we know of.
Yeah.
And I just caught it, and it was that it was really super intense, which I had not seen for so long. And then the guidance of life dropped in as, well, just let's face that. And the rest of that little walk, and for now it's like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. I mean, if it's there, we're gonna face it, right? If it's gonna come up,
exactly.
let's be present. I mean,
boy, that'll be an opportunity, right? Because, what? I mean, it's so perfect, just like the first conversation. Yeah. So the mountain lion shows up. Well, that's what's happening.
Yes. That needs attention.
I wish it wasn't happening. It's not going to help me very much, is it?
Not going to help.
And you know, the thing is, Todd, that's such a good point about that, is if the mountain lion came right here, talk about the monster in the path, we'd be right there. We'd be right there. And life would give us the information.
Yeah.
And, you know, later on, there'd be a huge conditioned conversation about it, very likely. But in that moment when life is happening, and we're there for it, we're there for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's exactly worry is not preparation.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And what I've found has been very supportive as well is I made that 20-minute recording of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Just the process of making a 20-minute recording with 3 or 4 second gaps in between, that whole process was I found it just to stay there and not go off. Like, I got through it, I'm like, I actually made this 20-minute recording.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And then I've been listening to it, and I heard the guy put it pretty emphatic challenge. No one's going to do it. No one will do it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll try. We'll see.
Yep.
And then what I saw, though, is maybe no one can keep it up. Or when will we stop? I don't know.
It'll be such a fascinating workshop.
Yeah. And I just saw as a commitment, I put in a commitment to do it as a 30-day retreat.
Oh, very
and,
good.
And to do recording and listening around it every day is to see how is it going to get me to stop from listening to the recording and from practicing it when I don't have it on. Because now, the listen to it for 3 days, it just drops in all the time.
Right, exactly.
Without the recording on. Yeah. Working, meditation, eating, walking.
Right.
Just drops in. I choose unconditional love.
Yeah. You know what I just pictured, Todd, is taking I guess we have to get our 2017 calendars pretty soon here, don't we? And so, I don't know, once every 2 weeks, once a month, just writing in the square. Are you listening to I Choose Unconditional Love? Right?
I love it. On the calendar.
So, you know, you get to... Oh, no, I'm not. Where's that recording? Right? It just builds it in through the entire year to keep putting a little roadblock in our way to find out if it's still going on. And if it's not, right, no self-hate. Just a wow, check that out. You know, get to see everything we saw about that and then start again.
Start again. I will take that encouragement. Mm-hmm. It's a great one. Put it in the calendar for the next 12 months, every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll be listening to our... And she's on conditional love recording.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rebecca, thank you.
I've been practicing with that as well, and I choose unconditional love, and listening to it through the night, there's something that I noticed, and I hadn't really seen it besides when it happened until this morning, so I want to say it. I noticed that I wake up several times throughout the night, and what I'm noticing is that there's an intentional listening for that, because I leave that recording just on loop all through the night. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll wake up and there'll be a pause, and I'll watch the presence, the attention, just search for those words, for that for that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll I'll just keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way that then I go unconscious because I fall asleep, and so I don't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so fascinating, the whole who's hearing it
mm.
and when. Mm. And when does the consciousness register it? Mm-hmm. And that action of actually turning to seek it, uh-huh. is just so, it's, I don't know if this is coming through at all, but it's just so fascinating. Yeah. The whole dance of consciousness with that, with, in uh-huh. relationship to that guidance.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know what I hear in that, what you're saying, is just how, well, I mean, really it's the theme of all morning, isn't it? That if we're willing to do it, whatever it is, in this case, it's making this recording, listening to it through the night, that we just get to see everything, yeah. right? So much around it. And for you, in particular, the workshop right now is, gosh, who's listening to it? And when does consciousness register it? And how does that happen? And just kind of a curiosity around all of that.
Yeah, and it's even below the curiosity is a deep gratitude mm-hmm. for whoever that is that mm-hmm. wakes up and seeks that. Uh-huh. That's what is really the touching piece of it. It's uh-huh. like, I just want to say,
yeah.
you know, it's like the eyes through which I see God, God sees me, mm-hmm. or that which you are seeking is causing you to seek. Mm-hmm. It's that presence that is seeking that uh-huh. that I feel so grateful for. Mm-hmm.
So you feel really touched by that presence that does wake up in the night and is seeking that, mm-hmm. is listening for that, that feels really touching.
Yeah, and so there's this area that I'm really struggling with. It's an old karmic area, and it feels like that answers it, but mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how exactly, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I want to look at it out loud. Yeah. So something dropped in that I think is from life.
Okay.
I haven't really been able to check it out in terms mm-hmm. of guidance and everything yet. I haven't had the opportunity, but I will. But in the meantime, it's been taken and twisted and just mm-hmm. ego has just run with me. You know, just jerked me, is jerking me around any number of ways around that. And using the I choose unconditional love, I've noticed that sometimes it gets used sort of as a desperation of make this go away.
I choose unconditional love. Get away from me. Get away from me.
You know, kind of thing.
This is supposed to be a safety zone. You're not supposed to be here.
Come on, base. You can't touch me here, you know, but it's touching me, right?
Because all of my attention is on it, not touching me. Well, you're touching me. You're on my side, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom, she's got a leg on my side, right?
And then during a sit last week, it occurred to me to lean into it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the I choose unconditional love was still going on.
Yeah.
The iron fist yeah. in my third chakra was yeah. still there.
Yeah.
And it just occurred to me to lean in.
Yeah. So interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was, of course, the letting go of the resistance.
Yeah, like an acceptance that this is the thing. Again, it's kind of like we've looked at it in a number of examples this morning, mm-hmm. that this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That iron fist, that mm-hmm. essentially from what you're describing, that ego taking whatever this thing is and torturing you with it, mm-hmm. that is what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's that place of, it's a razor's edge, it's a fine line. Because what I hear you saying is not wanting to indulge it in terms of, you know, being in relationship with it and that sort of thing. But there's a way in which that pseudo-zen can be the thing that locks the relationship in. I don't want to be in relationship with this. I'm choosing unconditional love. That in there, I'm in the conversation. But in that leaning in, ironically, there's a way in which I've actually dropped my side of the conversation.
Mm.
It might still be there. You know, the sensations of the iron fist, the whatever it is. But there's a way in which, at least if I'm tracking what you're describing, that's the thing that brings me, all right, this is the thing that's here in this moment that I'm inviting into unconditional love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it raises the question, so once that, what's it called, a grip is, death lock or whatever, yeah. is kind of loosened,
mm-hmm.
it raises the question for me, to go back to what that content was that I think life dropped in. And to try to look at it again without all of the layers, the ego layers that got... oh my God, it's just been such a workshop, you know?
I do know. And you've recorded about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I recorded about it. And even that's interesting, because when I hear back, I notice what the mentor's voice sounds good, but there's just this doubt again. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know...
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what just dropped in. That's something I play with when I'm in a situation like you're describing, of that place of, because it sounds like you're quite clear you're going to take it to guidance. You just haven't had the opportunity to do that. And so it sounds like that's where you are.
Yeah.
Right? That the idea has dropped in.
Okay.
And then I'm going to take that to guidance as soon as the space opens up. Good. And then ego's like, this is good, man. There is a lot of mileage in this, right? So it just keeps bringing it up, it keeps bringing it up, keeps bringing it up. But it sounds like Rebecca's already clear. Yeah, got it. Registered the idea, taking it to guidance, right?
Yeah, but you know what it is there's a fear that I won't, that I'll get talked out of it.
And so that would be such a great place to practice with, just like we were looking at earlier with Sequoia, right? Yes, I will, of course I will.
You said that, and I just heard the voice. No, I won't.
Right? It won't.
No, I won't.
It won't. Yeah. Boy, that's the place, isn't it? Because again, I mean, it's very much like, at least for me, that experience we had earlier of, well, but I mean, you know, whatever it is, I don't know what the particular thing was, but you have to separate the process out from the content and make sure, well, I don't really know if that, I don't know. And of course, that's all ego just covering its you know what. Because nothing can happen to Rebecca or Jen or Sequoia or whoever in seeking guidance. It's only going to be a win for the person. And if it's all completely a conditioned idea, great, thank you for saving me from that, right? So, you know, whatever it would be, you know, writing it on the calendar for Monday or whatever, you know, we're asking guidance on this, period.
Yeah.
And then watch it start its campaign. Well, but, okay, well, you don't have to ask for guidance. I'm going to.
Yeah, that's really helpful because, you know, the what it says is it's helpful to hear nothing can happen to Rebecca in asking for guidance. It's actually the bigger fear is not that it'll be no, that was a conditioned idea, it'll be yes.
Yeah.
And then what would that mean?
Yeah.
And all of that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. And that's really, I'm saying out loud, that's really where it's getting me. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's a no, it's mm-hmm. that it will be a yes.
Mm-hmm. And then all that comes from that. And it's kind of like the worry is not preparation place, right? We're not there yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
We're here. You know, so what ego wants to have us practice with is the imaginings of what's going to happen in the guidance.
Yeah.
But what's actually here to practice with is the conversation it's attempting to drag me into around that right now. That's the actual thing that I have to practice with right now.
Which is the old karma, you know, and so the taking me out of what's actually here and into this imaginary whatever life that I really... you know, either should or shouldn't be having.
Right.
And so I made a corollary recording that I'm going to put on loop too that's like, I choose to be here.
Yes.
I choose to live here.
Yeah.
I choose to be, you know, and so it's...
Because the magic of that is that what you're doing is you're training to be all right with this.
Yeah.
And what that's going to train you for is when you seek the guidance, whatever the response is, you've been training to be okay with this.
Yeah.
That's freedom.
Yes.
That's the unconditional part of the program. Mm-hmm. Because the this matters not a whit.
Yes.
So then it actually can't torture us. Well, what if they say no? What if they say yes?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm training to have an unconditional relationship with this.
Yeah.
So I don't need
to worry at all about anything ever.
Yeah, I can speak the unmentionables in guidance. Right. I can speak. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there aren't any unmentionables when we have that unconditional relationship with life.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Very helpful.
Yeah. Thank you. Cameron.
We have time?
We do. We have a few minutes.
Okay. I didn't really have anything specific to talk about. It's just that everything that has been said today touches so deeply something that I'm working with or looking at or being involved in my practice. And every single person said something, at least once something, that just zinged right in. The iron fist,
check.
The work of the unconditional love recording. Everybody had something good, really good to say about that. And working with your hands, how good that feels. And particularly the difficulty with asking for assistance. Boy, that's so huge.
It's so huge.
Huge.
What you're saying is so huge, Cameron, that, I mean, again, gosh, we say it all the time, but that's because it's always true. To be able to see the process that's happening for us mirrored everywhere is so helpful.
Right.
Right? There's so much compassion in that. There's so much sangha in that. There's so much support in that.
And there is, in coming regularly to be in group, that is a process of asking for assistance, because everyone in the group speaks something that's of assistance.
Yes.
So I saw that too, that there's that willingness to keep coming and to keep participating in so many things that are being offered, and it's coming in everywhere.
It is.
It's just like a sieve, you know, the love and the support and what is it that Jerry does, you know, this is life and death. This is something that we can't dawdle over, especially if you're long in the tooth, as Sherry says it.
Right. Well, we're mortal, which...
Yeah, exactly. Where we don't know.
As far as we know.
We don't know how
we're all
long
in that
you're going to get.
Exactly. Lots of people don't ever get long teeth.
Yeah. But the thing that I was seeing, you know, Sherry keeps saying, never be alone with it.
Yeah.
Any conditioning. And so what I've been seeing is that this karma not to ask for assistance is such a perfect thing ask for assistance, then who's going to assist me?
Right.
Who am I with in my head to hear all of the things that are not at all helpful to hear?
Right. And we heard such a perfect example of it. You don't need help. You can do this on your own. That's the assistance from the voice.
Yeah. Here, just let me talk in your ear and make you feel better. I just recently just really literally fell off the cliff in terms of, I don't know what, I don't even know how to describe it. I just sort of became numb inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to ask for assistance because I didn't know even what was going on. But anyway, I didn't. And so it just lasted a whole lot longer than it needed to. And finally the other day on a call I said, you know, I fell off a cliff and I disappeared and I think I'm coming back. But, you know, it's just really learning that it's critical to ask in the beginning.
Right.
I mean, just the courage to put your hands up and say.
Exactly.
To see what we saw today, that was just magnificent.
Yeah, such good modeling.
That's a good modeling,
And, you know, it just reminds me of why the role of recording and listening, or, you know, big signs on our wall, or notes on our calendar, or are so important, because what you're describing is how incredibly challenging it is to step outside of what's going on when the identification is complete.
Yeah.
So who's going to say I need assistance? Who's going to see I need assistance?
when the identification is complete.
Right, everything was kind of going on, and life was going on, but there was just like this emptiness inside that what, you know, that what just wasn't.
Yeah.
And
to me, that's why it's so helpful, you know, as I emerge from times like that, to record everything I see about that.
Yeah.
From this place of just, well, two things. Incredible compassion, three.
Yeah.
Incredible compassion, unconditional love, and curiosity.
Yeah.
Because what it seems like it does is it really ups our chances. It sort of familiarizes ourselves with what it feels like to have be in that, to have that go on, so that the next time it begins, it might flag our attention a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Ah, wait, this is very familiar.
Because this one was kind of different. It was on in some way. It was not familiar because of the fact that there wasn't a lot of big voices. It was more just like these sensations. And there was more just this kind of dead quality to my interior. But I was keeping up the steps with the body, you know. I'll be here when I gotta be here, and there when I gotta be there. But I did drop out of something that I should have been doing. A certain, it was actually the support thing that I was participating in, and I just stopped doing it.
Right. So there are just little clues along the way.
Yeah.
That again, if we record about them, perhaps the next time we wait, I stop doing that support thing again. This is like that last time when the. Right? And it does. The resistance gets more and more subtle, right? Because it can't get away with the things it used to be able to get away with.
Right.
So it's just, turn off the lights. Right? Doesn't say anything. Just
dimmer switch. All goes slowly. Dimmer switch.
Yeah, yeah, dimmer switch. Dimmer there you go.
Just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute, I can't see anything.
Exactly. Right. And then the miracle of, at some point, it did occur to you.
Oh yeah.
Right? You did see what was going on. And then you did have the, you know, wherewithal to metaphorically or literally put your hands up and say, wait, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all.